This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.
Well, it is 7:25 now, and you know what that means. It is time for us to get into the Word of God, as we do every day at this time, to give you some encouragement to get your day started out right. And that voice you just heard was Pastor Stephen Whitlow from Redemption Church back in with us. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you with us, and
Thank
we're going to turn things over to you if you're ready to go and let you share with God this morning.
I'm ready. So this week, what we've been doing is answering the question that Solomon posed in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 when he says, will God indeed dwell with man on the earth? The answer, of course, is a resounding yes. Why will God do that? Because he loves us and he wants to give us meaningful work to do. And the way that God does that is through the house that he has built, through his church, and then through the Holy Spirit in the individual believer. And kind of as a setup today, I'll say I think it's one of the most exciting times, well, the most exciting time I've seen in my life to be a part of the church. I think a lot of shifting has happened over the last year or so, and God is getting ready to move in his church. And that's what we're believing and praying in our church. And so yesterday, I looked at Isaiah 66. There's a question in there that God asks. It's, what kind of house will you build for me? What kind of person will we be as individuals? And then what kind of churches will we be a part? And I think the answer to that question, what kind of house will we build for the Lord, is a really important answer. And yesterday I gave three words to help describe what that should look like. The words were powerful, holy, and fresh, or gospel-centered freshness, which is, I guess, more of a phrase than a word. I'll look at the latter two the next 2 days. We'll look at the first today, which was powerful. And so where does power come for the Christian, and where does power come for the church? In Matthew 16, or I should say according to Matthew 16, it comes from a strong doctrine, particularly as it relates to the person of Jesus. And right now, it's really easy to change Jesus, or to and accept like a less than the biblical Jesus. And it is imperative as Christians and as churches that we hold on to the true, doctrinally right Jesus. In Matthew 16, the question is asked of the disciples, who does the world say I am? And they answer, in short, Jesus is a good thing, but he's not a God thing, or a good thing, but he's not the only thing. He's a good thing, but he's not everything. He's just good. And that's really kind of how the world still answers that question today. And I think it's imperative that we understand, what is the world saying about Jesus? And most of the world today will still say he's a good thing, but he's not a God thing, or he's a good thing, but he's not everything. And some of the popular answers for this today, people love to say that Jesus is an example. And the variety on this is intriguing, because there will be some people who will say, well, Jesus is a great example of how to worship or how to be a good moral person. And people that look into society and say, hey, we need more morality, we need more good people in the world, will say, well, let's look to Jesus. He's kind of our example. And I'll use my words choosingly here. He's our example of like moral conservatism. And let's look at Jesus. He's great. And then the pendulum will swing to the complete opposite side. And and people will say, you know what we need in our society? We need more love. And they'll say, Jesus is like the perfect example of like radical, progressive love. And they'll swing it to the other side. And both sides will try to ignore elements of Jesus to uphold what it is they're looking for. They love good law, morality. He's the example. If they love good, progressive, inclusive love, Jesus is the example, right? And then beyond that, people will say, well, Jesus, he's a great teacher. Oftentimes people will point to the Beatitudes and they'll say, well, if you just follow the Beatitudes, society would be great. Look at that. Or they'll say Jesus was a great man and he's one of a few, some of the best teachers, spiritual leaders in the history of the world. Now, what's wrong with all of these things? Some of them are partially true, but what's wrong is that it does not look at the full picture of the biblical Jesus. And the quickest way for the Christian or the church to lose its power is to Jesus, which diminishes the gospel. We shift our Jesus to culture. And at that point, then the church has no reason to exist once we believe, act, and think like the world. I mean, Jesus himself in John 10:30 set himself up as God. I and the Father are one. He's not just an example of worship. He is who we worship. If we want to say Jesus is a great teacher, then we have to look at the full extent of his teaching. At the end of the Beatitudes, Jesus sets himself up as the judge of sin. And we can say Jesus is one of many. Well, Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then ultimately, I think Christ kind of sums all of this up in Mark 10:45 when he says, I came as a ransom payment. I came as the one to lay down my life because the world was enslaved to sin. I came as the one to pay the penalty of sin so that humanity could be redeemed. And I think right now for Christians and for the church, it is really important that we build our foundation exactly as Jesus said in Matthew 16. He looked at Peter. Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, from that foundation, I'll build my whole church. And for us, that power in our own lives and power in our churches, we have to hold on to this true biblical Jesus.
That's a good word for us. Would you go ahead and pray for our listeners this morning?
I would love to. Father, I pray for all those who hear my voice right now, that they would know the real and true Jesus, the Jesus of love, but the Jesus who is willing to pay the penalty of sin because he saw the weight of it and the destructive nature of it. I pray that we would all know and have the power that comes from a proper understanding of Jesus, the power that changes us on the inside, and then the power that equips us to do good work out in our world. I pray for every church, Lord, represented, that they would hold to the biblical Jesus, that they would have a strong foundation then of which Christ then will work and build his church through. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Stephen Whitlow joining us from Redemption Church, and where he pastors. And tell us about Redemption Church.
Redemption Church, a five-year-old church. We meet out in Monclova, and let's see, we started it 5 years ago in a movie theater. We moved into a building in the middle of COVID, and we've been there for about a year now, and it's been just really, really good.
And if folks want to find out more information?
ExperienceRedemption.com.
Very cool. Hey, Pastor, thanks so much for being in this morning. Really appreciate the word.
Thank you, guys.
This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.